I need to get a new Goodfellas because the DVD I have is on two sides.
Wow. One of those old.
Yeah. I was watching.
Before they learned compression.
Yeah.
Oh, really? See, I had a, I forget which DVD I have, but I have one where like one side is widescreen and the other side is normal.
Mm. I have a couple of those, but yeah, but this Goodfellas is half the movie on one side, then it stops and you have to flip it over.
This is side two. If you want to play the record from the beginning, please turn over. Do not play this side if you want side one. This is side two.
Staring out of my window, watching the cards go rolling by. My friends are gone, I've got nothing to do. So I sit here patiently, watching the clock tick so slowly. Gotta get away, or my brains will explode. Give me something to do to kill some time. Take me to that place that I call home. Take away the strains of being lonely. Take me to the tracks that Chris hit.
What's up, Hootat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk this week. And we thought about skipping this week because there's really no need to do two Super Bowl preview shows, but ultimately we decided to split the show up into two parts.
So, kind of like Avengers Infinity War, part one and part two?
Yes. Exactly.
Sorry,
that's the way to do things nowadays.
Everything, yeah. I got Marvel on the mind, sorry.
We'll talk about that later. All right, so this will be Super Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Part one. Where we'll recap the NFC and AFC championship games and then talk about some other random crap. Maybe Damon's going to do one of those, you know what really grinds my gears, rants on something. And then next week with part two, we'll do our actual Super Bowl preview portion. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I guess I'm a zero. I'm just finishing off a glass of wine, so it's probably not enough to get me up to a one. But
all right, but
I am drinking.
There you go.
So there's that.
Did you say Abe Lincoln?
I like that.
This guy knows what movie I'm talking about.
I haven't said or heard that in a while. That's good. I'm glad you brought that back up.
All right, Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Zero.
Alrighty. So let's jump right into games recap.
I guess we'll go AFC championship. Yeah. Exciting game. Came down to the wire.
Yeah.
It was definitely the better game of the two.
Well, right. Wanted
Brady Manning.
Classic Brady Manning, but they wanted to make the extra point important.
And Belichick was a big proponent of that.
Right, and they sure did.
And I think Gostkowski was the only kicker who didn't miss an extra point all season.
He hasn't missed since, like, 2006, they said.
I mean, look, Gostkowski's the best kicker in the league right now.
Now, hold on a minute. Damon, you're saying that the Patriots, like Robert Kraft and whatnot, in the owners' meeting, was one of the main advocates for moving the field goal?
I didn't say that.
Maybe the extra point?
Bill
Belichick was a huge proponent of pushing it back to whatever 30-yard kick, whatever it was.
Well, then it's only fitting that it bites him in the ass. I mean, who knows what would have happened in overtime?
Right,
yeah.
But they...
But you didn't get there.
Decisions that changed, though. I mean, they went for it on fourth down so many times.
Right.
Whereas if they would have just kicked the field goal.
Right.
Right, they would have won. You know, I thought about that also, right? If they'd have kicked their two field goals, you know...
Mm-hmm.
Best kicker in the league.
Yeah. That was perplexing.
But I mean, I don't know. In the heat of the game, it seemed like the right move because, you know, they were down 8. It's like, well, if we kick a field goal and get down 5, then Denver could possibly run out the clock or whatever. They felt like they had to get it. And I mean, in hindsight.
And it's not like Denver wasn't moving the ball at times.
Well, they did early in the game, but after those first couple of drives, Denver didn't
they weren't doing anything in the second half.
Yeah, they'll do that.
So I don't. I mean, yeah. Look, it's easy, like you said. I mean, this is what they deal with. It's just, you know, second guessing. That's the job they have.
Well, we're not doing it from the Silver Slipper Casino.
No.
All
you WWL fans know what we're talking about.
But yeah, I mean, this time.
I'm happy for Manning that he finally got one over Brady.
Well, he's had the last four.
He's had a better record in the more recent group of games compared to like earlier on. Brady had really had his number.
Yeah, I think Manning won the last four playoff games.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. All right.
And this is, I think, in the AFC title game.
Well, then I'm not happy for it.
I think is Manning 3-1 against Brady in the AFC title game.
It gets incredible if you watch that game, or maybe they might have put up on ESPN. Going back to 2000, the last 15 years, it has been either Brady, Manning, or Roethlisberger.
No, I put that stat in our text.
Well, it was also on ESPN.
Well, I found it on my own without them.
Oh.
Okay. Sure.
I will read it.
Hang on. You don't need to read it.
Yeah, right.
David just said it.
Right.
No, it goes beyond that. All right.
He's going to say the exact same thing.
I did the research on my own. I want the credit.
You don't have to say it.
You did the research. Yeah, well, I watch TV.
He did the research. He went to ESPN.com or watched it the other
day. He even did the research, too. He watched TV. You can edit it out if you don't think it's repetitive. But all right,
it is repetitive.
But look,
New England.
Just don't say it. Hold on. I'm going further. New England and Denver. The teams have combined to appear in 3 of the last 4 Super Bowls, now guaranteed to be in 4 of the last 5. You add Pittsburgh to that, and those 3 teams have appeared in 6 of the last 8 Super Bowls. Talk about parity. Talk about parity.
Yeah.
The other two being Baltimore and...
When you're in the Colts, which had Manning.
Right, and that's when I was like, if you really just do Manning, Brady, and Raplesberger, it's 12 of the last 14.
Do you know who the other two are?
Well, Flacco.
Flacco and...
Rich Gannon.
Oh, yeah. Oakland. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oakland.
Yeah, because Brady...
All the way back to 2002.
The Pats went in 01, and then 02, it was Oakland and Tampa, so that was Gannon.
02 or just 2?
02. I'll say 02.
0 and 2 are the 3 quarterbacks when they didn't play in the Super Bowl for the last 15 years.
But look, let's be honest here.
You need a quarterback.
Denver's defense won that game.
Yes.
Manning had a good start, but the reason why Denver won is because Denver was able to get pressure, rushing only 4 guys.
I mean...
They hit Brady the most times all season. They fired their offensive
line
coach the next day. Right.
I love that. You're gone.
Heaven forbid we fire our defensive line coach and special teams coach right after the season's over. Because that would only make sense. The Patriots do that. Damon's model franchise right there.
That's right. They get rid of them. And that's why they've been...
I still can't... It's amazing that... I mean, everything's going to go to Peyton, but man, that defense did it. You know, they shut out Edelman. They only could do so much to Gronk. I mean, dude, that fourth and 20 down the middle to Gronk, when everybody knew it was going to Gronk, and they still threw it anyway, and he caught it.
And he beat the I guess the corner of safety. I mean, he.
And then the touchdown where instantly you see the touchdown. You're like, no, he was out of bounds. Nope, he was not out of bounds. The replay, nope, he was not out of bounds.
You're right.
And he was open on the two-point conversion. It's pretty wild that you wouldn't just say, you know, I'm going to throw it to the best player on the field. I'll take my chances.
Well, yeah, it's a shame. I'm sorry. It's a shame that it had to come down. That extra point. I don't know.
Look, I'm okay with the rule. I don't have a problem with them changing the rule.
No, I actually like it because it did what they wanted it to be.
Look, it adds more drama to an NFL game.
Absolutely.
Mm.
I mean, look, it can go either way. If you're a Pats fan, you're disgusted.
I mean,
if you're a Denver fan, you're like, fuck yeah, I love this rule.
Yeah, but I mean, the rule just...
I'm fine with
it. It's stupid.
It's not stupid. I like it.
Yeah, I mean...
Why is it stupid? Because you don't like change to your NFL?
So it goes from 99% of the time to 93% of the time?
I mean, it's a shame that...
They had so many other chances to move the ball and score more.
Well, look, I mean, that could be said for every football game, right? No one player loses a game or no one play, you know?
Right.
But still, you have two teams.
Well, Roman Harper kind of did against San Francisco, but we won't get into that.
No,
Pierre Thomas being knocked out of the...
Yeah, that kind of did it.
Well, right, but again, I mean, that was a freak play. I mean, you know, obviously he didn't.
Yeah, just like missing a point, extra point, kind of like a free play.
No, you have a team that's going for. I mean, I can't. Think, I mean, they're already a dynasty. I mean, you can't.
Right. I mean,
you know,
right.
They are.
We talked about it last week.
Right.
They don't take anything away from that.
Right. No. Exactly. Right. 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 You can't take anything away from them. I mean, they're still. Even in the history of the NFL, like we talked about, I guess, last week, what they do in this era of free agency is just sick. I mean, just never thought we'd see that again.
No, but look, they had their chances, and they only scored 18 points. They threw however many passes to the running back out the flat, which was incredibly dumb.
I thought Sean Payton was coaching for a while.
I was about to say, this looks like they took our playbook.
Well, they did practice together at the Greenbrier, so, you know. Yeah.
You might have Bill Belichick was keeping that in the back pocket.
Right. Yeah, right.
Saved it all year.
Sean's like, hey, Bill, you might want to use this in the title game. Just put it away. Now, maybe if it wasn't his fourth string running back, it might have worked out. But when you're running friggin' James White.
And that's the thing. I mean,
multiple times, you can't do that. You have Edelman, you have Gronk, you have whoever else is going to be a better receiver than fucking James White. So,
I mean, but look at.
But again, all of it.
Brady was.
Well, yes.
Down.
Yeah. Again, give all the credit to Denver's defense. I mean, they harassed the piss out of him, especially in that fourth quarter. I mean, he didn't, you know, the standard rule is you have 3 seconds to get rid of the ball. Man, he didn't have 2 seconds to get rid of that ball. I mean.
I thought Zach Streif was blocking for him.
I mean,
Ware kept going past that tackle. Like, the tackle couldn't even. You just going right around.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, we've seen that a lot.
And there he goes.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. Hey, Wade Phillips works wonders with defenses.
Terrible head coach. Great defensive coordinator.
But the story going into the Super Bowl with Manning, I mean, I'm like, yeah.
Next week. No,
well, no, but it's funny that Manning can ever be considered an underdog. Just the career he's had. But he
Look, but it's not like this is Peyton Manning from 05. This is a Peyton Manning that could barely fling the ball around with his noodle arm. I mean, he is what he is at this point. He ain't the Peyton Manning you remember. That's
the
why
benefit
he's
you get from Manning these days is his brain more than
his arm. He's still smart as hell, but he can't make all the throws anymore.
Right. Well, look, I mean, this isn't Peyton Manning from 2012. Where he broke Breeze's record of yard, you know, passing yards, and.
But you also, I mean, and we'll get into this next week when we get into real preview. But think about when Manning's got now 2 weeks to prepare. There's something to be said about preparation as well.
He's got more time to get some HGH shipments to his house.
He had 2 weeks to prepare in 2009 and 2012 also. It didn't seem to help then either. I mean, I know what you're saying, but no doubt he's going to be the sentimental favorite going into
for some people.
for most people, anybody with a brain.
We'll get into that next week. All right, next game was the Carolina-Arizona game. And Carolina picked up where they left the first half against Seattle.
Yeah.
What? It's like, how do they have that effect on teams?
Carson Palmer didn't have a good game.
Oh, you think so, Doctor? You know.
But again, I mean,
understatement of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. But he didn't play well the previous week against
No, he was a little
Green
shaky
Bay.
Against Green Bay.
Is he coming off of an injury?
He hurt his finger in like week 16 or 17, but he said it wasn't that big of a deal. But
yeah, well,
when you look at it, he hasn't had that much big game experience, really. He hadn't been in the playoffs that much after he got hurt in Cincinnati in the playoff game, and then he kind of bounced around on some shitty teams.
But it didn't seem like the whole Cardinals team was just off. I mean, they were fighting with each other after the first few plays. I guess they were pretty. And
look, man, Carolina's, as much as I hate to say it, Carolina's fucking legit. They've been the best team all season.
Yes, they have.
I didn't want to admit that last week.
No, look, I
can't deny it now.
Right? There's nothing we can do. It's true. I hate saying it, but they are the best team by far.
They've definitely looked the best in the playoffs. They have looked legitimate in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Seven turnovers for the Cardinals. Seven.
Now I'm going to...
It's like there's something about the Saints defense to be said there, and I can't figure it out. But
well,
the
look,
Saints defense.
Look, as good as Carolina has played, they lost the one game to the Falcons, but the Saints gave them a game both times, once with a backup quarterback.
I'm sorry, we beat them the first game with a healthy Drew Brees.
Sure we do. I agree.
Healthy is a key word there.
And if we just had a middling defense, we'd have beat them the second game in the Dome.
If we had any defense.
Any.
Anything. Anything. If we had a bad defense, we'd have beat them. But we have an atrocious defense.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly the word I was thinking.
If we'd have had a bad defense, we could have beat them.
That's something else. We went to Carolina and gave him a game with fucking Luke McCown.
Right.
That's all right. We didn't need it.
It wouldn't have made a difference anyway.
Right.
No, yeah, we still... Okay, but we finished 8-8, still missed the playoffs.
So, I think what I noticed, too, with Carolina is, for one, I mean, being a Saints fan and anti-Cam Newton... You see all his antics as arrogant, cocky, just a piece of shit kind of guy, right?
Childish, non-professional.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Well,
but honestly, if you're a fan and you look at him for what he's really doing for that team, he's got that. He is the leader of that team. He has that team 110% behind him. They're playing for him. I mean,
No, they're not. They're winning.
Yes.
They're winning.
They are motivated.
Hold on.
He has been motivated my ass.
He has been the best player in the league this entire year.
They believe in whatever
he
he's
has.
Selling.
As much as you might hate the guy, you can't
argue
that. Who's been better than him this year?
Better how?
Better everywhere. Stats, winning. I mean, he has been the best player in the league this year.
Well, what are his stats?
He threw for 35 touchdowns. He ran for like another 8. His team was 15-1. What else do you need?
Well,
when you listen to them talk about him and about the Panthers are laser focused. I mean, they are saying all the right things, even post game. You know, you could celebrate and all that. They're like, nope, we're not done yet. We're not done yet. I mean, they're saying the right things. They're focused. And whether that's Cam Newton, Ron Rivera, or a combination of the two, that team has leadership right now.
I understand that.
Not
we're...
deny that.
Like we definitely have a hatred towards them, but you have to take that off you have to look at them objectively. Like I said earlier, I mean they've been the best team by far this year. And
they played the shittiest record.
It doesn't. They still beat NFL teams.
They played the shittiest record.
They still beat NFL teams.
The Patriots would have been undefeated.
Oh my God!
They'd have been undefeated if they'd have played
the
NFL.
The Patriots went down and lost to a Miami team in Week 17. That had already packed their bags and was done. If they win that game,
and
they play home in Foxborough, and they lost. They lost to a shitty Miami team that had nothing to play for.
The same way Carolina lost to a shitty Atlanta team that had nothing to play for.
Well, thank God they ruined. They don't have an undefeated fucking season. I mean, that would be the worst.
That's division rivals. You know, all records go out the window when you play division rivals.
Okay, well, they lost three or four other games. I mean,
unless you play Atlanta, and then we just beat them no matter what.
right, which is tradition.
That's not a rivalry, though.
A rivalry would suggest that there's an element of competition.
right. If you look in the past decade, what have we won? 15 of the game? 15 and 5 against the Falcons in the last 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty strong.
I like how we can take whatever we're talking
about. Of course.
About and bring it to Atlanta.
Pointing to fuck the Falcons. Now, the one, and I'll say it now because it's kind of a small thing. The only bright spot, it's not really a bright spot, but should Carolina win next week, the Falcons would be the only team in the NFC South without a Super Bowl.
Right. Me say that a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I'll say it again.
All right. Yeah.
So, well, we definitely have a lot to talk about next week, and
yeah.
I'll definitely give my thoughts on the game.
So, yeah. I mean, anything left to say about the game?
Just, I was hoping Arizona would have put up a little more of a fight. It was just kind of depressing because, as the game progressed.
Oh, I stopped watching at halftime. I was done.
Well, I was at a big party, and when that game was on, I saw the score. I'm like, well, fuck it. And then I left. I came home, and I don't know what I did. I didn't even watch the end of the game. I can't watch it. I'm not going to watch the celebration. I'm not going to watch this.
Yeah.
I didn't miss. Apparently, some dude fell out of the stands in Carolina.
Yeah, but he didn't fall out the top deck. He was on the first row, right?
Still funny.
Yeah.
See the video. All of a sudden, oh, a dude just falls.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny to watch people fall.
All right. So that's that.
Yeah, that's that. It was kind of depressing. I was hoping for a Cardinals win, but
yeah.
Well, it had been so nice because then no matter who won, basically anybody but the Panthers got in, you know.
We'd have had a great season.
Whoever won, it had been good for the – it would have been nice to see the Cardinals win their first championship. It would be nice to see Brady and Belichick, really put a triple stamp on their double stamp of a great franchise. And, of course, watching Peyton Manning go out as a two-time Super Bowl champion.
None of those things are going to happen.
We won't see the Patriots or the Cardinals, but
you're right. Peyton Manning still. That's the only.
You know,
thing.
Again, this. I mean, we'll get into it next week, but this is the biggest game of his career.
Huge. I mean, a second Super Bowl for him.
Well, it's a difference between going 2-2 in Super Bowls, and you won't remember that. You'll just remember he's a two-time Super Bowl champion, or going 1-3. That you'll remember. You know. And 1-3 in Super Bowls tarnishes his legacy. Multiple championships certifies him as definitely.
Look, that's why I want Breeze to get that second. That second Super Bowl makes such a big difference.
It does.
Compared to just the one.
It's huge, right.
What separates you from good from great, right? I mean,
it's what separates us from the animals. Except the weasel.
All right, let's move into headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
And we got a couple of little headlines to cover. Still some football stuff. So the Senior Bowl is being played where?
Usually it's in Mobile.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know if it moved. Okay. No. So,
same place every year.
Yeah, same place.
All right, so there was an article
about... So, Jeff,
about,
did you look at the computer and just watch all the weigh-ins of 20-year-old college players taking their clothes off and being weighed in their underwear?
No, Matt did that for us. but there's an article talking about the kind of like six players that Saints should be looking at in the Senior Bowl. So if you are, you know, people ask us, who do you want to pick? Who do you want to pick? Well, if we are looking, I mean, I don't know anything about these guys, but at least we'll say some names. So if you do watch the Senior Bowl, you know some names to look for. Reggie Ragland from Alabama.
What does he play?
Linebacker.
Linebacker position of need. I like it.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into any details about him. But then you got a defensive tackle, Jaron Reed from Alabama.
Defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of a need.
Position of need.
Yeah.
Everything but quarterback. Okay?
Yeah. A defensive lineman, Sheldon Rankins from Louisville. Yeah. Defensive end / outside linebacker, Noah Spence from Eastern Kentucky. Guard, Cody Whitehair from Kansas State.
Guard, another position of need.
Yeah, he's a ginger, though, I think.
Who cares? If he can block, so
Cody,
be it.
Nah, Cody Whitehair. It's like, that's bad joke. Bad joke. All right. And then, for good measure, how about a wide receiver, Braxton Miller from Ohio State?
Oh, yeah, he did transfer to wide receiver. He had a hot start, but I think he kind of cooled off. He's, of course, the former quarterback.
Yeah.
But, yeah, look, the defensive tackle, linebacker, guard, those are the positions of need. I'm not going to get into the minutia. And, of course, there was some Mac draft that came out this week that somebody had. Look, I did not look at the mock draft, but the comment was, "Oh, Saints take a quarterback first round." I'm like, it just proves our point.
That's why.
Well, they're all fucking stupid. It just proves that's so fucking stupid. We would never in a million years take a quarterback first round. Well, hey, look, it's mock draft season. This is what we got to deal with. They're good, and they're only gonna be coming on stronger
and more frequent.
Yep, once the Super Bowl's over. This is getting into the heat.
It's the Ned Stark meme. Brace yourselves. Mock drafts are coming. All right, next headline is Cam Jordan is now in the Pro Bowl.
Well, because everybody else is dropping out. Cam had a good season. There's no doubt about it. But a Pro Bowl these days, you know, so many guys are dropping out. I know Brady dropped out today. I think that they said this is the year where they've had the most guys that have been in and declined or dropped out due to whatever reason. So, I mean, every decent player is going to end up going to the Pro Bowl this year. But, oh, it's, you know, good for him. He had a good season. He can go to Hawaii and
get some money.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
All right. Then you got Ben Watson said that even though he's a free agent, he wants to stay with the Saints. So.
Whoa. Now, here's a thing. Over the last 2 days, Philadelphia, they handed out a contract to Zach Ertz for pretty big money, like 4 or 5 years, like $50 million, something like that. But on top of that, then today they gave a deal to Brent Celek, his backup, which is I think like a 3-year, I don't know, $12-14 million deal, $6 million guaranteed. So look, if Watson wants to try to get that from us, fine. I think his season this year, while he's a steady player, a lot of it has to do with Breeze. If he needs to go somewhere else, he ain't putting up these stats.
Right.
So, look, this is where Mickey has to be smart and say, look, I'll give you this. You want it, take it. If not, we'll find somebody else.
Right.
I mean, look, said it during the season. You look at, the wide receivers, the pass catchers, that leave here and go other places. And what do? Nothing. Jimmy Graham being a fine example of, he was, you know, Seattle's not going to use him like we do. It's just not going to happen. You have Kenny Stills went to Miami. Did he catch any balls? Did he play for Miami? I mean,
he caught a handful, but he didn't do much.
Right. So, and the same can be said.
Yeah, Meacham left, signed a big deal with San Diego.
Right.
Nothing.
I love Ben Watson. He is a veteran. He is a good locker room character guy. He's a good character guy, period.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's looking for a lot of money, it shouldn't be.
This ain't going to be here, no.
Like, I don't want to see, oh, we signed Ben Watson, 3-year deal, $15, $20 million.
Well, he doesn't have 3 years in him.
No, he's 35 already.
Right.
He's got a year or two tops.
Right, and he's built. I mean, he stays in shape, and
he does take care of his body. I'll give him that.
Right, you know
he's not worth any kind of serious money.
No,
not when Drew Brees makes the tight end. It doesn't matter who's there, unless you're Josh Hill. Apparently,
look, we can go out and draft some dude in the third or fourth round, and we'll turn him into a stud.
Well, don't we have another basketball player turned tight end that's on the development team or something right now? Thought I read a little something about him. Somebody trying to make something out of nothing.
You know, when you see the words "basketball player," that's the it phrase. Look, they'll be with the way the tight end position has kind of evolved lately. There'll be a guy to find either in the, you know, late in the draft that we will pluck out.
Right, and Breeze makes them.
Stick them in. Right, right.
But I'd like Watson to.
I would like him back, but I wouldn't pay more than
that minimum.
Well, I'd give him, I don't know, 1 year, $3 million.
I mean, considering how long he's been playing, I mean, his minimum's probably decent.
It's probably $1 million. But I think he warrants a little more than the minimum, but I wouldn't go beyond 1 or 2 years. Maybe $3 million a year.
Again, so he had a career year just before his free agency. I mean, do you expect him to have the same year? I mean, I know he's a good character guy, and you'd expect him not to let something like that phase him.
Well, on top of being a contract year, he was put in an optimal position with Graham being gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was here last year, but Graham was still here. This year, he became the main guy, and of course his stats are going to bump up.
And if he doesn't have many years left, then he may still play hard because he's playing for that ring now more than ever.
Well, he probably got one for
win,
right?
Yeah, but you want another one.
Well, at this point, he's probably paying.
His career's over.
Playing for. Well, no, at this point, at 35, this could be the last time he's ever going to get a decent contract. And I don't blame him. Maximize your money where you can. But if I'm the Saints, I just don't go overboard to keep
him. Well, we'll see what they do. All right, and then the last headline I've got is this documentary on Steve Gleason. It's called Gleason.
Premiered at Sundance.
Yes, to very high praise. I'm very excited to be able to see this when we're able to. But Peter King, who I'm not a huge fan of, but he did write, quote, "I'm an old softy, but I counted 6 times I either teared up or flat out cried in the 111 minutes of the documentary." And
was the documentary about Roger Goodell?
But I mean, everybody who saw it, and apparently Drew Brees was there for the premiere as well.
Yeah, look, Brees was there. I think Vegeta was there.
I would
If Gleason was there, Vegeta was definitely there.
Yeah, Gleason was there. I think McCready, the guitarist for Pearl Jam, who they've been good friends, they were there. Whenever I end up seeing it, I know I'm going to fucking cry. There's no doubt in my mind I'm going to cry. But that's good that it's getting a big audience kind of like this. Yeah. I don't know what kind of distribution it's going to get. Documentaries usually don't come out in the theaters,
right.
But
hopefully
come out in New Orleans at least.
Hopefully we'll see it on Netflix.
And I think that's what it'll be, video on demand or Netflix, or eventually it'll come on.
You don't think that the Palace or somewhere, the Esplanade in New Orleans, is going to air it?
No.
You think that Gleason's people are going to set something up?
No.
I mean, maybe they could. I could see them doing a screening in like Champion Square or something. They have, like, an event out of it.
Right.
But it's not going to get a wide release.
No, but that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, make an event out of it.
I guess I could see that. Because you would get a lot of people. I mean, you say, hey, let's have a party in Champion Square. We can charge $9 for a beer. Come watch Gleason's movie. Yeah, we'll make some cash.
It'll be a fundraiser for his nonprofit.
Hey, I'd pay for that.
I'll buy that for $1.
I'd also bring in my disposable flask.
Oh, you wouldn't support Team Gleason?
No, I would. I would still buy some stuff, but like, I'm not going to buy 8 beers at $9 a pop. Sorry.
All right. Okay, moving on to look at him tweets. All right, so we talked a little bit about this, so you can edit it out if you feel like it's not necessary. But during the game, Wheels tweeted us, moving the extra point back cost New England the game. Do they move it back to the 2.5 because of the Patriots, or just let New England do it?
New England will find a way to do it. I think this is here to stay. I think it's what the NFL wanted. You get more drama in football games.
Yeah.
No, they don't care if it affects one team or the other. I mean, yeah, it sucks for one team, but it's also beneficial for the other team. So.
Oh, look, the NFL is all about caring, what affects one team. So that's why we have the the new overtime rules where everybody gets to touch the ball unless a touchdown is scored, you know. And you have that crybaby Aaron Rodgers who's now bitching about that.
Let's hope the guy that doesn't change.
Well, that leads us to another tweet that we got during the week. This one's from Life of Ty. Also, the Rodgers rant with the background music was the greatest thing I've ever heard. Rants should be a weekly segment.
It was for a while.
Yeah.
But I don't. But you can't have a rant every week.
It's got to be natural.
Right. It has to be natural. Something has to occur.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to be like Peter Griffin. You know what really grinds my gears?
We tried that for a while, and then we had it for a few weeks.
All right, so this one comes from Craig in Baltimore. So he says, I'll be riding in Toth Sunday.
It's called Toth.
Whatever.
Spoken from a true guy from Alexandria. Couldn't even spell Toth right. Come on now.
I didn't spell it. I said it.
Either way.
Who knows how he spelled it?
Shit.
He actually spelled it right.
He spelled it like tooth.
Right.
All right. I'll be riding in Toth Sunday, February 7th, float number 32, sidewalk side, bottom row in the back.
Where? Sidewalk side. There's sidewalks on either side of the street. That doesn't.
I wonder if he means
driver
Baltimore.
Or passenger.
He's from
driver.
Maybe he means not the middle, but on the outside, whichever way it's running. But really, driver side or passenger side?
Right. That's
better. Yeah.
That's how you.
Parades do not always follow. You know, the they go against traffic. So
yeah. Well, he'll be on float number 32 on Sunday.
I'm not gonna. Unfortunately, I won't be in New Orleans that weekend.
Well, anybody who's there, just yell, "Craig in Baltimore! Craig in Baltimore!" And he'd be like, I'm not in Baltimore.
No, you'd be covered in 3 feet of snow right now.
Yeah. All right, and then a tweet from Preston Allen, which is a good segue into our next segment anyway. What movies are y'all excited for this year? Which, yes, our next segment was going to be Movie Talk. I'm looking forward to Batman versus Superman in March.
I'm gonna see it, but I'm more looking forward to Civil War than I am Captain America: Civil War than I am Batman versus Superman.
Well, I mean, of course, but you can look forward to two movies. It's okay.
There's a bunch of movies I'm looking forward to, not just that.
Like what? Preston wants to know.
Doctor Strange, now this won't be until I think like November Doctor Strange comes out, but it's Benedict Cumberbatch playing Doctor Strange. Really getting in, now this is
basically anything Marvel.
Right.
Is that what you're going to say?
Well, not anything Marvel, but it is getting into the mystical realm of the Marvel universe, and I think with the phase one characters like your Captain America, your Iron Man, and Thor, with them having their run and maybe possibly slowly trying to phase them out and bringing up these new characters, like you get your Ant-Man, you're going to have your Doctor Strange, you got Black Panther next year, trying to bring some other characters, original characters to the forefront. I'm very intrigued to see where this is going to lead. I mean, obviously, a lot of this is culminating with the Infinity War movies in a few years, but
that I'm looking forward to. Oh well, but then you have the other Marvel side by Sony.
Oh yeah, Spider-Man.
Well, not just before that, the Apocalypse. You know,
yeah,
that's not Sony. That's Fox, though.
Fox has
the X-Men.
What does Sony have?
Characters, which is Sony just had Spider-Man and X-Men. Fox had X-Men and Fantastic Four, which, with as bad as the last movie was,
that will go back to Marvel.
Yeah, I think Fantastic Four will go back to Marvel, but okay. Fox still has the X-Men, and yeah, Apocalypse looks legit. I'm excited for that one too.
Yeah,
Because I did enjoy Days of Future Past.
That was good. Well, it's going to be so tough when they have to replace Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, I mean, it's
I mean, that
it's he is perfect.
Yeah, he is perfect for that role. Not really perfect from a, if a strictly comic book adaptation, because obviously Wolverine in the comic books is like 5'2".
Right, he's really, right.
You know, henceforth the name Wolverine. But,
but he definitely, I mean, he's got the look.
He had the look. He's nailed it. Look, that's made his career.
Yeah.
I mean, name me three movies. I mean, I can do it, but
okay.
that he's been in that, you know, that, you know.
That has really garnered, look, he's a good actor. Now, he was in Les Mis.
Terrible.
Oh.
I never saw Les Mis.
Right, so don't, shut up.
He was in, what was that robot fighting movie?
Oh, yeah, Real
not,
Steel.
Real Steel.
Real Steel. No,
that
and
was
he
good.
Was.
He was in Kate and Leopold, the time traveling movie.
Oh my God, was he?
Yeah. I think with Meg Ryan.
Oh my God, that's so.
He played like a guy from the 1800s.
He did a lot of Broadway too.
Right,
yeah.
but all these movies are very forgettable. He was in something fish with.
Oh yeah, Swordfish.
Swordfish, way back in the day with
oh,
Halle
Berry.
That's
right, I remember
Berry,
that.
That's right.
First time Halle Berry showed her boobs.
Right. He was also in the one with Christian Bale, where they both played magicians.
The Illusionist?
Is that the...
There was two movies.
There
were
two similar. That was very similar, right.
Ed Norton was the other one.
Right. But it was Christian Bale. And it was actually a very good movie, if anybody can figure out from our lame description what it is. You should go back and watch it.
I know which one you're talking about. I just don't know which one it is.
But yeah, I mean, he's been so good in the character of Wolverine.
But Wolverine made him. That's
yeah.
Well, we all know him. He's played him like God knows how.
Finkel,
you know,
is Einhorn. Einhorn is Finkel.
Now I think he's only contracted for Apocalypse and then one more standalone Wolverine
right.
movie, and I think that's it.
Oh my God! You know, I mean, I can imagine the man's
within like 15 movies he would have done.
And I mean, at this point, he's at least probably 50, right?
Right. He's up there in age, and the.
Wolverine's not supposed to age.
Right.
Right.
The incredible shape he keeps himself in. I know how hard that is.
I mean, he looks better now than he did in the first X-Men movie in 2000.
Oh, right. He's it's so hard when you get older to maintain that. You know, it really is.
Makeup. All right. So other movies you're looking forward to.
Speaking of, you got that Deadpool movie coming out next month.
Oh, I'm looking forward to Deadpool,
which actually looks pretty good. Now Ryan Reynolds played the Deadpool character in that shitty-ass Wolverine Origins movie.
What?
Yeah, remember he was the fast-talking guy with the swords, and then they converted him to the freak at the end.
Yeah.
And they were originally they were going to do a spinoff and make a Deadpool movie based out of that, but then they realized, yeah, it wasn't really faithful to the comics, so thank God they scrapped it and they're doing this new one. But it's very...
Ryan Reynolds getting his second chance to be a superhero.
Well, the Green Lantern was just terribly bad. But this new Deadpool, it's an R-rated movie. There's a lot more violence than you would normally
see. And you can tell from promotions that it's not pretending to be kitschy. Not kitschy. Kitty.
Not kitty.
Right. Well, if
it will be kitschy.
If you've read any of the Deadpool comics, he's definitely, adult-oriented and... He's funny and irreverent and, you know.
And he breaks the fourth wall, and that's
right.
Going to be a big thing in the movie.
They're going to be very...
But what's going to be interesting is that the Colossus character is going to be in... The X-Men character Colossus is going to be in Deadpool, but it's going to be a different actor than the guy who played Colossus in Days of Future Past.
Which is fine by me.
Their continuity isn't... what fucking Marvel's is, but only the real nerds are going to see that.
Alright, so yeah, you said Captain America Civil War. You know what else I'm looking forward to? Suicide Squad.
Like, is it just going to be all comic movies? I mean...
No, but these are the...
I mean, Barbershop, the next cut's coming out in April. I mean, that's...
Nah, but Suicide Squad, have you seen the previews for this?
I did see the preview.
Have you heard about this?
I mean, I just want to see... Margot
Robbie.
Yeah, anything she's in, I just like to see.
All right, you got whatever. Anybody looking forward to the Bourne sequel, Jason Bourne.
Matt Damon's coming back, right?
Yeah. He's filming.
So they had the one with Jeremy Renner, and like, eh.
Yeah, no. Anybody looking forward to Warcraft?
Nope.
Nope.
Thank you.
I saw the preview, and I'm like, what the hell is this with all these CGI creatures? I'm like, Warcraft. It's like, eh.
All right. Star Trek Beyond. I am
looking forward to Star Trek.
But it's not J.J. Abrams.
That's okay.
All right.
Independence Day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. Even though Will Smith won't be in it, and I don't know what his character is, I'm intrigued.
His character was very minor in the first one anyway.
Are you serious?
Really? You think his character made it? Made that
I
movie?
Mean, his character was pretty fucking good in it. I mean, the aliens made it.
Anybody could have played
it. Wait, who are you talking about?
Will Smith. Come on.
Well, he was the main character in the movie.
He provided some good comedy.
But this one's not Will Smith, is it?
Right.
No, it's
well,
Jeff
I,
Goldblum.
I mean,
And what happened the last time Jeff Goldblum went from being a supporting character in the first of the movies and then the main character in the second movie?
Well, the Lost World?
Yes.
Hey, we enjoyed it when we saw it.
It's the worst of all of them.
No, Jurassic Park 3 was worse than Lost World.
I disagree.
Yeah. Lost World was better.
The only good part of Lost World was when T-Rex went to San Diego. Exactly.
I mean, really? Hey, let's just create this new, bigger dinosaur than the T-Rex. Because why not?
Yes.
And we're going to have fucking Tia Leone and Bill Macy hollering going after their son. That movie was terrible.
Well, look, this last movie, they created a dinosaur bigger than the T-Rex.
They just took all the Jurassic Park.
Right, but they genetically engineered it. But they genetically engineered this one.
They genetically engineered all the dinosaurs, Jason.
Right, but they genetically engineered eight dinosaurs into one. God damn it, don't trust me. Fuck you. All dinosaurs are engineered, all right.
All right, well, I'm still looking forward to the Independence Day movie, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing, I was watching something, Independence Day. Randy Quaid was in Independence Day.
That's right.
And
he had a part in Independence Day.
Yeah, he was good. And then I was watching something else with Randy Quaid in it. Not another teen movie. And he played the nut there. And if you've been following the news, apparently he wasn't acting.
Oh, dude, he is a certified nut job
he
right
now.
He is
a loon.
They were evading police for a while.
Right.
He had this crazy beard. I think they had like this pseudo sex tape kind of thing where like he fucked his wife and they were wearing masks or some shit.
Yeah. So apparently when he acts like a lunatic.
He's fucking crazy.
Right.
Well, Cousin Eddie.
Yeah.
My Cousin Eddie. Who can't love Cousin Eddie?
Right.
But you know, you bring me, you know, besides superhero movies nowadays,
Ghostbusters.
Eh.
I want to see it.
I'll see it.
I'll see it on HBO.
The girls in it are funny. I'll give it a shot.
Well, again, if you're millennial and born after 2000, and you haven't seen the original, I guess people like it.
You've got a Zoolander 2 coming out.
Didn't see the first one.
Really? You never saw the first Zoolander?
No.
Come on. Dude, it's funny.
Did I tell you I watched Tropic Thunder the other day?
No. Was that your first time?
No. It's the first time I've seen it since it was new.
Came out.
And that movie's freaking hilarious.
Dude, Zoolander was funny. I like
it. Is that the one where Tom Cruise is dancing and all that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's good. That was good. I enjoyed his part of it. Well, what was it like? The guy's an action hero, and he thinks he's in a movie, but it's a real war or something?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All of them. Well, mainly the Ben Stiller character, yeah.
Well,
the rest
I'm just,
of them kind of figured out they're not.
I think of what other movies would even be out there. Like, are there any Rock movies coming out? The Rock?
Yeah. Central Intelligence, I believe.
Him and Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart's apparently in every other movie, so.
Well, he's hot right now.
He's hot.
Have you seen him in
Nope.
Get Hard with Will Ferrell? It's funny.
No.
It's been on HBO, and I haven't seen it yet, but they filmed that in the Superdome parking garage where I parked my car.
Or did they?
For a while. Apparently he owns like a car auto repair or body shop or something.
Oh, is that what that thing was?
It was filmed like you go into the dome. So like I'd go into the dome and park, and they'd have it blocked off where like the ramp would go down because they have that lower level that's down a level. All that was blocked off, and they transformed that section into his body shop down there. So they filmed that
car
there
washing,
probably
like a detailing car
for probably like 5 or 6 weeks. They had that blocked off.
And
they
filmed
5 or 6 weeks for that. There's like 3 scenes in the movie.
Okay, maybe it was 4 weeks. I don't know.
All right. Any other movies?
No, that's it.
I mean, I'm sure there's once I get back to the movie theater and see some previews coming out. I'm sure there's something.
Yeah.
Oh, you got
Wait,
Star
it's
Wars.
The new Pirates.
Well, hold on.
You got Rogue One.
You got Star Wars Rogue One that comes out in probably November, December.
In December 16th.
Which is the story of how they got the Death Star plans, the original, from back in the day.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm very, very looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah.
But it is going to be, I mean, it's kind of like the Marvel thing where, like, it's connected
good
to
bridge.
The universe.
Yeah, and it's a good bridge the gap year over year when you're waiting for the next Star Wars.
Yeah, which they did move to December 2017. I guess it was supposed to be May 2017,
right.
And now it's going to be December 2017.
Right, well, that would have been nice because you'd have had Rogue One in December, and then not really long afterward, you know, in May, you'd have had.
But, I mean, doesn't that seem like not enough time between Star Wars?
2 years? That's plenty of time.
Right, all the other ones have been, now granted it's George Lucas, but all the other ones have been 3 years in between movies. It just seems like 3 years is the natural space.
Whatever.
I don't know. Today's Hollywood. I don't know. Different.
They paid $4 billion for it. They're looking to make their money back.
Well, they've already made back $2 billion, and that's not even counting when the Blu-ray comes out, and they're going to make another billion. Like, they're going to recoup, with merchandise and movies, they're almost going to recoup the entire investment.
Well,
just this first movie.
I mean, well, actually, right. Not really. I mean, look, that's...
Well,
that,
I mean, I know they owe payments.
Well, right. That $2 billion they basically split with theaters, you know, so that's...
And on top of, I know Harrison Ford got a chunk, like a 1% of the...
Oh, he got back-end deal?
Of
right.
The profits, and I think J.J. Abrams got some back-end.
Well, they're...
So they won't make it all, but okay, then
all
right. for the next movie, they'll make it.
So, do we do this now for Neil?
I think it's about time, right? Are we finally have our... Okay, so...
Cue the music!
Finally!
Our Star Wars review.
If you haven't
seen 6 weeks later.
If you haven't seen Star Wars,
you're a fucking
one. Right, this is the last segment, so if you haven't seen the movie, then you can just go ahead and
What are you doing with your life? If you have not seen Star Wars yet, what are you doing with your life?
But go ahead and stop the podcast. You're not going to miss anything after this. After this, we're going to close the show.
Unlike Jason the Headline. But go ahead.
Alright, so movie review. I thought it was good. Jason?
Yeah, better than the prequels.
Damon? And that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week.
You'll have 6 weeks for that.
Well, let's talk about our Star Wars experience. Right.
Number one, it is the best.
No.
We're not even talking about the movie itself yet. Let's talk about the situation.
Star Wars experience.
Look, Damon's been waiting 6 weeks.
Hold on.
We never told them this.
Okay, so y'all stop me whenever you think I'm not, you know, staying with what happened.
Okay.
So folks, so about I don't know, we you know, the three of us have been talking about going to see Star Wars, you know, we go see the big movies together. And so a couple of weeks, about 10 days, maybe 2 weeks out. We weren't going to see it opening night. You know, we said, no, don't worry about Friday or Saturday. And we were on a text. And I can go back and find the text if y'all want.
You don't have to. We just want to trust you.
And I said, all right, guys. I started the text between the three of us. I said, all right, guys, what are we going to do with Star Wars? And we tried to coordinate with Jeff because he was going to Atlanta or whatever the fuck. And we decided a date. The Sunday, the first Sunday after opening...
Sunday morning
at, I forget, the early
show. It was like
10. The 10 o'clock showing.
Yeah.
And everything was great. So we all agreed. And Jason said, well, Renee, that's his lovely wife, we're going to want to come too. And Jeff and I said, of course. You know, Renee does everything with us.
Except the show.
Perfect. Except the show. Well, she's been on the show.
Actually, she has. You're right.
Yeah, she has. Yeah.
She's been on the show. So that was with the agreement. And then Jason volunteered. I was going to buy the tickets, so you could buy them online. Jason volunteered, oh, I'll get the tickets.
I'll go online.
No, you said that you had coupons or you had redeemable stuff to get
I had gift cards that I got for Christmas. So, right. Mike, let me just take care of it all in one fell swoop.
Right. Jason, I'll get the tickets. Everything is planned. Four people. Jason, plenty of tickets. So I get there, of course. We said, all right, let's get there early because we don't know what kind of line they're going to be. Bada-ba-doom, bada-bing. We said, let's get there at 9, an hour before the showing. Okay. I'm there at 9, and who's there with me at 9? Nobody. Of course, these two jacks. Well, no one shows up.
Look, so I think I got there at 9:05. Hold on.
No.
Getting a little long. Come on.
No. Oh, yeah. So anyway, I'm there at 9. I'm there at 9. These two assholes showed up at 9:30. Jason.
Hold on. Jeff showed up at 9:30. I was there literally 5 minutes after 9.
No,
you
were not.
I was there. No,
All right. That's not
you
important to you. That's not why you tell the story.
Right. So anyway, four of us, right? Jason shows up with a bunch of fucking nundicks.
No, look, listen. I believe.
What'd you call them?
Nundicks.
I believe I had texted saying, look, Renee's
no.
You know, cousin and brother are coming, so I'm just going to buy. I went online.
Nope,
I bought
nope,
the
nope, maximum. No.
10 tickets that
Jason
I could buy.
Is lying now. You are lying. I have text. This is 2016, Jason. I can go back and show you. There is not one text between the group where you say that.
Okay.
Not one time. So we had a plan. We had a plan.
Either way, I still had the plan to. We were all included.
But Jason doesn't share this plan with anybody. Jason doesn't share this plan with anybody.
Because I figured I knew I had
You knew
had
so
tickets
listen,
for everybody.
Listen,
no,
to
I
this.
Knew that I thought that I had tickets for everybody.
He knew he thought.
I thought I knew.
I thought I knew. I thought I knew.
All right. Okay, we're wasting a lot of time.
So long story short,
11 people.
We get there. People, we get 10 tickets for 11 people.
10 tickets.
Show, and the showing is sold out.
Now, of course, after the fact, when we watched the movie, there were empty seats in the theater. Even one, like, right in front of us, there was an empty seat. Right. Just like, oh.
So, who do you think, folks, ladies and gentlemen, who made the plans, who started the fucking plans, but didn't get to see the movie at 10 o'clock? Huh?
Look, I was ready to push Jeff out the door, but you volunteered to leave.
Well, because I'm the only one who is civilized between the three of us. Okay.
Not what you said, but okay.
Uh-huh. Oh, no. I flipped you off until you go fuck yourself. Actually, it was better because I went and saw it at the new Esplanade Theater with the reclining seats that are very nice.
See? Win-win.
And you got to jerk off without us seeing you.
Mm.
Right. So the movie...
So I gotta say, it was like the second it went down, and it was weird not having the 20th Century Fox intro that we're used to seeing with Star Wars. All of a sudden, it's just the previews were over, Lucasfilm, and then just boom, the scroll, and I'm just like, this is fucking awesome. I'm watching Star Wars. Oh, so happy.
But all right, now it's been a month out, 6 weeks out. Has your opinion of the movie itself changed?
No.
No, I loved it. I loved getting – it was a great movie to get back in the world. And really, what the movie was to me – I mean, people say, well, you kind of rehashed a lot of things from the original. I can get past it because this movie was more about getting back in, setting it right, and eliminating the bad taste in everybody's mouths from the prequels.
Well, I mean, I'm going to definitely agree. Look, no more – large, giant, planet-destroying ships, okay? That's it. We've done it three times. No more! Okay, no more! I don't want to ever see another Star Wars with a large planet-destroyer. Okay?
And everyone conveniently has an easy way to get destroyed.
Yes, I mean, these ships are just terrible. I mean,
right.
You know?
You build this giant thing. Oh, no, there's a weakness.
Right. You know, my.
It's like that scene in Spaceballs with the big self-destruct button, you know. He's going to push it.
Huh. I definitely understand. I mean, can understand your point there. It's like, oh, Starkiller base. Oh, it's just a Death Star, but it's a...
Right. Don't. What do you think? I'm stupid. I've seen this before. It's fucking
right.
Death Star.
But it's bigger.
Right, but it's bigger. Oh, yeah.
I like that they even. It's almost.
Hey,
like they
and
made
it,
fun
it
of
sucks
themselves.
The sun's energy. Come on, man.
But wait, it's almost that they were making fun of it themselves on that scene when they were all standing around the map, the hologram,
right,
you know,
right.
The 3D map, and they're like, "What's the difference between this?" And they're like, "It's bigger."
Right.
Like they even
that's all right. You can always blow it up somehow, like Han said. You can always blow it up somehow.
Right, but the Death Star's defense is more porous than the Saints. I mean, you know, I mean, it is easier to get through the Death Star's defense than it is to get to the Saints. That's all I can say. You know, I'd rather. But I've heard you know people say and Jeff I'm. This was a fan's movie. And in that way, I'm a little torn because, like Lucas for what he's done or not, we're big fans because of this man's ideas, what was in his head. And
except for Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, except for Jar Jar Binks. So, I mean, so that's where I'm kind of, I don't know. Maybe to me it'd have felt more like Star Wars if Lucas would have done it because
I think to me J.J. Abrams did for Star Wars the same thing that he did for Star Trek, and you may not like it because you're more of a purist when it comes to the nostalgia of these movies
right.
That you
no,
grew
no,
up with.
No, but look, I
but
love what he
pulled
did with Star
it,
Trek.
He yanked it into the modern day cinema while staying
yeah.
True. And grabbing those nostalgic yeah. elements from the past.
Yeah.
I loved the way they... It's funny. I love it, but also it's the slowest and part of the movie that I'm waiting to get over with is in the beginning, the way they introduced Finn and the way they introduced Rey, that they, you know, you showed the origin... Not the origin, but these two characters coming up and they're how they met and how and that's what sets us on the journey. But the movie really starts with the Millennium Falcon. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Like
oh,
everything is building and I love the way they introduce it. Like, oh, that's an old what do they call it? Garbage.
It's like, oh no, we don't want that ship. It's a hunk of junk.
Yeah, and then boom, the ship they're running to blows up. Cut to the Millennium Falcon and the movie starts.
You're now, just like, wow.
And you're just I just got goosebumps just thinking
yes,
about it.
Yeah. 100, but again, that's why it's a fan movie, because he did stuff like that that George Lucas does not do.
Mm-hmm.
George Lucas has his story, and he's telling his fucking story, and you can go fuck yourself. You know? And but when they were running past it, and they said, not that ship, did anybody have an inkling about the
oh,
movie?
I knew it. I was...
No, I
had no.
I didn't.
No.
I didn't. The first
really?
Time I saw it, I was like, no, I didn't.
Really? Jeff, you...
Oh, actually, they... No. You're right. No, I didn't.
That's what made it so... That was a throwaway line. They were running. I didn't think twice about it after, you know, when they said it.
You're right.
Because I was so encompassed to like, oh, they're running away.
Right.
Which is you would have think you would have picked up on it because the trailers, you saw scenes of the Millennium Falcon flying in the desert area
right.
with the
yeah.
wrecked
right.
ships.
Right.
You're
so
too caught up
known.
In it. You don't pick up on it. Yep.
No.
Well, what's
and then the way that they flew it, like it was a dragon on the ground. It was just chaotic. I mean, she's just trying to figure out how to fly this thing. And then I loved how she flips it up because the gun is locked in position or whatever. And that scene where she comes out, flips it upside down. He catches it, target locks, blows up the TIE fighter. Oh man, that was a fucking awesome scene.
Well, it seems like a lot of the flying scenes were more. They were very different from previous George Lucas.
Yeah, they're
space
modern.
Flying scenes. Now, look, obviously technology advances, but even in the prequels, we had good technology, but the way that the flight scenes were filmed were a lot more, I don't know the way to describe it, but they were very different than even
yeah.
Lucas did in the fucking prequels, which were just static. You know, these
it
were
felt
like,
more like an action movie.
Right, right. It was very good direction on J.J.'s part.
Well, yeah, like,
Something that was funny, I'm just throw this out really quick. I don't know if y'all mentioned it, but when you show when Rey was out and she gets her little portions and she comes out, and you're like, oh, where is she? She's in her camp, and it's a fallen Walker.
Oh yeah,
I thought that was kind of interesting.
Another fan.
Well, sure. Right. It's like, oh, it's a fallen Walker.
Well, even the destroyers that they go and pillage for parts.
I just thought that's cool to see the old Star Destroyers crashed on the desert.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely fan service there.
So the guy that Ray would always trade the parts for the bits, like, do you feel like he's part of the story? Like, maybe he was quote-unquote hired to watch her by...
I almost kind of feel that way a little bit. I mean, it depended on...
And that the Millennium Falcon was there?
Depended on whoever Rey's parents end up being. And that, like, how did Rey come to be on that planet? Who left her there? Did they leave her in his... Because obviously the Millennium Falcon was his. But yeah. You know that was Simon Pegg.
I don't know.
Simon Pegg, he's in the British... the trilogy, the Shaun of the Dead, and whatnot, and he's in Star Trek. He plays
right,
Scotty.
He plays Scotty in Star Trek.
Okay. Wait, he played that guy?
Yeah, he played that guy, yeah.
Right. Well, again, I mean, we're kind of skipping over one of the best thing that J.J. Abrams did. Is
everything,
back,
but if you had to choose...
No, he went back to practical effects.
Yeah.
You know, that's what made it feel... Like a, you know, what we remember the Star Wars movie. Practical effects.
So robotic as the, just Phantom Menace alone with all the fucking droid armies and, ugh.
Loved having stormtroopers back instead of droid armies.
The stormtroopers were just cooler and shit. I mean.
They had all kinds of stormtroopers now.
Right. I love the new helmet. We skipped over, I think this was actually the first scene of the movie. Is the introduction of Kylo Ren.
Yeah, when they went to the desert planet.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, I thought the guy, Max von Sandow, I thought his character was going to be somebody that we would have known from back in the day, but they didn't mention his name in the movie.
Even after the movie was over, they're like, who was that guy in the beginning that was...
They didn't mention his name in the movie, but even like on Wikipedia and whatnot, you see his name, and it's like, no, it's nobody from the earlier movies. It's... I thought he would be a little more... Because he's like, oh, yeah, we left the plans with an old friend. I'm like...
It's a prequel site waiting to happen or something. Some kind of a side story.
Right. I mean, they might bring him back in Rogue One, maybe. Who knows? Well, no, but he...
But
he's so old. I mean, maybe another character.
Well, it would be a younger version.
Right,
sure.
A younger version. Maybe that's...
So,
right.
Maybe that's it.
But Kylo Ren, I thought, Damon, to your point, great way to introduce... I mean, you think about it. You're in Darth Vader's shadow at this point.
Right.
How are you going to come up with a villain that people are going to respect? And I thought they thoroughly did a great job of that. I loved how, in the beginning, he stops the...
I love when he stops the blaster. The
blaster.
That was great.
And you got the thing just sitting there and shaking. Like, that was a cool effect.
Mm-hmm. And then I love that they had they finished that, because by the second time I saw it, I was looking, I'm like, did they forget to do anything with that blaster? And then he finishes it off.
Oh. Well, now one of the thing about his lightsaber, did y'all notice? And maybe later on in the film when they're having a lightsaber battle, he made his own lightsaber, and his isn't as perfect as the one, you know, whose lightsaber do they get?
The normal Jedi's.
Right.
No, it seems it's very volatile.
Right, because it's made by an amateur, not by a Jedi Knight.
A trained Jedi, right.
And so I just like that little detail, you know, and so if you look, pay attention to his lightsaber, like you said, it's all going, you know, it looks like it's analog, you know, in a digital world, you know. It's all... And I just thought when I noticed that, I noticed it the second time around, I put it together, and I said, that's just, I like that attention to detail. I loved
how he had his, like, temper rages where he, like, would get pissed off and just, like, fuck, I'm just going to swing it around and just destroy shit. And then you had the scene with the two stormtroopers that walked, saw the shit going on, and just turned right back around.
That's awesome.
That was great.
That was a good one. Those are the scenes that I think are absolutely necessary in developing his character.
And
you can see that he's unstable.
And just and not only that, just there was good scenes of dialogue that just made it seem like the prequels were so wooden. Like you had the scene where Poe Dameron, where he got captured and he met up with Kylo and he's like, so how's this work? Do I talk first? Do you talk first?
Yeah.
Just little bits like that, just to get some character and human, just, you know,
well,
human emotion. Not really emotion.
Hayden has no acting skills
whatsoever. But part of it was the dialogue Lucas created, not just like,
yeah.
Oh no, your presence soothes me. Come on.
Well, again, is it Hayden? Is it?
I think a lot of it was the dialogue and the direction.
It's the dialogue, right. Because I think that same dialogue existed in the
originals.
Right, the first trilogy, except for Han Solo, because the Harrison Ford was able to.
I'll say he was able to act.
Act. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You know.
He was great. Harrison Ford was great in this.
Oh, look, he was really one of the main good guys in the entire movie.
Sure, he was sure. And that's what fans wanted. You know,
yeah,
I mean, that's what we wanted we wanted the continuation of episodes 4, 5, and 6.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. We got it.
Right.
Got it.
We finally got it.
I thought it was genius to kill him. Spoiler alert.
Well, I know he wanted to die in Return of the Jedi.
Right.
He thought that was the logical arc. So I kind of, like, when they signed him on to this movie, I'm kind of like, well, look, if anybody of the originals is going to die, it probably will be him because he wanted to die already.
And he's almost 80, right? I mean.
He's like 70-something. I mean, now, it does make sense with Kylo Ren being his son. It does make sense. You know, when they get there and when the scene comes, I was like, I don't think he's going to survive.
Now that, to Damon's question when you said, did you know it was going to be the Millennium Falcon? I will say, there was at least a point building into that where I'm like, holy shit, this is Han Solo's death scene.
I definitely knew he wasn't going to make it.
Yeah, when they came in upstairs and they had the light shining on it and it was dark and everybody's just like, Chewie's watching. Ray and Finn are watching.
And Ray and Finn up top. Yeah.
Everybody's watching, and this exchange here, and I'm sitting here like, they are building one of the greatest death scenes in Star Wars history. And he has to die.
Which, look, you need, like, a big, you kind of need a big death like this.
Yep.
I mean, in the first Star Wars, you had Obi-Wan Kenobi. He died. It was a big character, big death, but you need that. You need an emotional death.
And again, that goes even further to solidify Kylo Ren as a great villain. I mean,
look,
any story is only as good as the villain.
100%.
Yeah.
So you have, and you've got, again, you're in Darth Vader's shadow, who is looked back on as one of the greatest movie villains ever.
Ever.
Right.
So
well,
what do? You got to kill one of your most beloved characters.
Right.
And you have him as mentally unstable.
Well, on top of it being
and
like, it's that, like. Think about it. Like he killed his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's fucked up.
Yeah, he's pretty evil.
Well,
yeah, he'll do that.
Well, they did such a good job of making him a Darth Vader fanatic. It makes, you know, him being basically the next Vader doesn't seem as cheesy.
Especially since it's his fucking. I mean, it helps that it's his grandfather.
Right.
So there is a family relationship, and he idolizes him. We saw it. He had, I don't know how he got it, but he had his burnt Darth Vader helmet.
Well, these are questions you don't ask.
I'm not picky about, well, how did he get the helmet? Somehow he got it. I'm not worried about that. But
there's
definitely
there's a big gap. I mean, there's 30 years of gap.
But the idolization and knowing that it's his grandfather, I could see why he would. If you're going to go to the bad side, idolize your grandfather. I mean, your grandfather was the kick-ass fucking Jedi or Sith.
Both.
Yeah, both.
Yeah.
Point.
So, big question. Is Luke Rey's dad?
Yes.
Gotta be.
I think so.
Gotta be.
Especially since, I mean, when she went down in the, when they were at Maz Kanata's and she got all those visions just by seeing that lightsaber.
Right.
Like,
well,
there's got to be some kind of family.
When she touched it, not just seeing it, she touched it.
Well, right. There's got to be, I would just think so, and maybe Luke. Now, obviously, it brings up a whole bunch of questions. Well, all right, Luke had a kid. Who did he have a kid with? Why did he leave the kid off?
And Jedis aren't supposed to have kids, so.
Well, that didn't stop Anakin.
Well.
But it turned him to the dark side.
No, his wife, his love for his wife turned him to the dark side, not his kids.
No.
There's been other theories out there. Well, maybe Rey is Obi-Wan's granddaughter, but to me, Obi-Wan was a really, really devout Jedi. He ain't having sex.
No, she touched his lightsaber and had the vision. Maz gave...
Oh, so that's what you're calling it.
I knew it. Maz gave, I think, with her response to it, everything just ties. And when he sees her, the look that he gives her, it's got to be. And the way she just... She has the Force stronger than Kylo does.
Well, that was something that got brought up. Like, well, she's all of a sudden she just realizes she has the Force and she's able to hold her own against them. Yeah. I know a lot of nerds say, like, well, that doesn't make sense. But there's also the possibility that Luke had her and started to train her a little bit as a kid, and then all the shit with Kylo went down. And
or shut the fuck decided, up, nerds. Or just shut the fuck up, nerds. It's the Force, okay?
Well, that's that too, But I do. But there's a good chance where she had some training, but then Luke brought her to Jakku, left her with Simon Pegg. So there is the question of, well, how did she pick it up so quick? I'm not worried. I don't fucking care. I mean, she's got the Force in her. That's all you need to tell me.
Hey, you got any Force?
I don't care where the fucking midichlorian count is. I don't need to know that shit.
The Force has to balance.
But I mean, going and actually, as the movie progressed and when the planet exploded, I'm sitting there thinking, dude, we haven't even seen Luke yet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're 2 hours into the movie. I'm like, and I know Luke is in the movie. We haven't seen him yet. So it was really, it was interesting where, like, you know, the planet explodes. Oh, everything, Han dies. Everything's safe. But then they find the map and they piece together the map. And then she and Chewie go out and they have that extended scene out in the islands. And she takes the time to climb, and that is kind of a cool scene where you see Luke kind of unhood, and she sticks out her hand with the lightsaber. But it's pretty amazing that Luke didn't have a single line in the movie.
Right. Well, like J.J. Abrams said, you know, I mean, that once you brought Luke into the movie, he just overtook it. That yeah. he... overwhelmed the film because we want to see Luke fucking Skywalker, you know, I mean, huh. Yeah, so that's why he left him out. And
you've got to, right, because a rebooting like this, this has to be centered around the new generation.
Yeah, especially if you're going to kill off Han, like, you need these characters
to be able to stand on their own.
Right. Even Poe, who had a lot of good scenes, but really wasn't in the movie that much. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see more of him.
Yes, his character looked interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of great scenes, that scene of when the fighters showed up at Maz, and you're following how his
he goes
takes through. Out all those TIE fighters and loop-ditty loops and all that.
Great directing.
Mm-hmm.
That was fucking
love
fantastic.
Following that scene. And then when and Finn's like, "That's a great fighter pilot," or
God, just coming through and like, yeah, taking out this guy, taking out that guy, looping around, thinking about that guy.
But again, that was another a fan scene. You know, I mean,
yeah,
that's, you know, it gave you the those chill bumps when, you know, the Rebel Alliance, fuck yeah, ooh, yeah. You know.
Oh, here comes Leia, here we go, woo.
Or even the stormtrooper that broke out that thing when he went to fight Finn with the lightsaber.
Oh, yeah, with this thing that could kind of defend lightsabers,
yeah. Yeah, it was pretty cool. And then you also, I mean, a lot was going on in that scene. Then you had Kylo and Rey meeting for the first time. Mm-hmm. Hello, cousin.
or so we think.
Yeah. Oh, and then Rey, how she escapes, that you will, what does she say, you will unlock these restraints and leave the door open. And then you think it's going to happen. He walks up and he's like, "What'd you say?"
And we all know by now that was Daniel Craig.
Oh, that was Daniel Craig.
That was Daniel Craig.
I thought Daniel Craig was the guy who had the who.
Nuh-uh, no,
was the soldier who brought on the little fight stick.
Right.
To fight against the.
Well, wait, why Daniel Craig did that? Just wanted to be in Star Wars.
because he wanted to be in Star Wars.
There's a lot of guys who there were a few famous people that
right cameos that were, or
right that just played stormtroopers.
Oh, that's funny.
Because they could stick him in a stormtrooper, nobody's gonna know.
That's funny.
It was cool to see General Akbar make an appearance.
Yeah.
It looks like General Akbar. Is it still him? I mean, I don't know how old those creatures.
General Akbar?
Isn't
he Admiral Akbar?
Or whatever. Admiral Akbar. General. I said Akbar, all right?
No, get it right.
Right. And then you also had the guy with the fucking gills who was the co-pilot with Lando. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Oh, now, something. I was surprised with everybody else showing up. I was surprised that there was no Lando in this movie, but I wonder if. Since Billy Dee Williams is still alive, if he's going to make an appearance in the next movie, is he possibly Finn's dad?
That's right.
Because we don't know Finn. Look, I'm just trying to connect some kind of dots. I don't know if it's happening, but
two black guys in the galaxy. You think they got to be related?
Right.
Well, every other Jedi is related to a Skywalker. So
true.
I mean, I'm just kind of trying
Star
to
Wars is a family together. Story.
It just seems like, I mean, Lando is still alive. Billy Dee is still alive. It would be kind of cool to. I mean, you brought back everybody else. You
right.
didn't bring back Lando.
Right. Lando has to be in here somewhere.
Well, look, he didn't show up until the second original movie, so he won't show up until the second new movie.
Right. That's how J.J. Abrams does. He's just remaking the same movie.
That's how the Star Wars universe works.
It is. Okay, so let's talk about the droids then. You got BB-8 as your new.
Oh.
Featured droid.
Good droid.
It's a good droid. I heard things.
Good droid. Ball rolls around. Good droid.
Jeff, well, did you buy the boys?
I didn't buy it, no.
Oh, you need
to. It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy that.
Come on, Dan.
Why not?
If it was bigger, I might have, but.
That's what she said.
No, I thought BB-8 had a lot of character. He, you know, personality, I should say. You know, when he did the thumbs up with the lighter.
Yeah, that was fun.
And just a few other little subtle things that he would do. I was surprised that C-3PO and R2-D2 did not have as a big role, but also I guess that's probably appropriate.
I'm not really that surprised. They've been around long enough.
Yeah.
Think about it, they were prominent in the originals, and they were pretty prominent in the prequels.
Right.
They've had their time. Okay. But I think we will see more of R2, depending on what we see of how much Luke is involved the next movie, maybe we'll see more R2. And
are you curious as to why C-3PO has a red arm?
I don't really care about his red arm. There's probably not a lot of droid parts like that floating around anymore.
Maybe.
He's happened to have a red arm.
I don't think like how he was introduced, though, how he interrupted Han and Leia.
No, of course.
As is tradition.
Yep.
But again, it was nice to see, you know, another moment, you know, of chills when, oh my God, there's R2-D2, there's C-3PO.
Yeah.
C-3PO, you know.
I mean, R2 more than C-3PO. I think R2 has a little bit more.
Well, because everybody's
respect.
C-3PO is kind of annoying. I mean, we can all.
C-3PO. Is my favorite of the two.
Okay.
You know, I never got the R2 love.
Because R2 is competent.
Because he's not British.
R2 is competent. C-3PO is just bumbling.
Right. Think about how many times R2 has had to load into somebody else's system and do something. C-3PO just talks.
Yeah, R2's badass.
Well, that's why
he also
R2
flies
the mat.
Planes.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Not C-3PO. You'd have fucked that shit up.
Right. Oh, I am so sorry, sir. Here is your map.
Right. Hello, Kylo Ren. Look what I've got. It'll be, maybe, yeah, you'll probably, if Luke comes back and he hangs around the base kind of thing, then R2 would probably be like his little sidekick.
We'll see how much, I would think BB-8 will definitely be more prominently involved than the other two droids. Maybe the other two droids just kind of make more cameo appearances in the next
couple
movies. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, I can't imagine Luke's going to be flying an X-Wing around all the time, so it's not like he's going to need R2-D2 with him all the time.
Right. No, R2's more like his iPhone. He's just going to kind of always have him there. R2, send a text message to Leia.
Hold on to this data for me.
Right. So R2's just a glorified storage device.
Yep, he's a big USB.
All right, any other thoughts on the movie that we're not covering?
Just excited for the next few movies, obviously.
Right. I mean, that would...
Who's this Snoke guy?
Oh, very good question. There's a lot of rumors floating around about his identity.
He's obviously really short. And he's we're compensating with his Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I mean, that whole vision of him being large, he ain't that fucking big in real life.
No, that's just a hologram.
Some rumors were possibly Darth Vader. I don't think that's the case. Some new rumors have been Grand Moff Tarkin. Like, somehow he escaped the first Death Star explosion. Because there are scars on Snoke's face.
Yeah. But he doesn't look human. He's humanoid, but I don't think he's human.
Humanoid, I mean, it's... Right. And, like, he knows about the Force, and I think he's trained Kylo, but I don't know that he's just a straight-up Sith Lord. I know there was another rumor that
he was Darth Plagueis.
Right, in Revenge of the Sith, the Emperor mentioned killing Darth Plagueis, well, maybe Darth Plagueis survived, and this could be Darth Plagueis.
Right.
Or possibly he's the Emperor. Like, the Emperor, we saw him get thrown off, and we assume he died.
But we saw Luke get thrown
off. I hope it's not the Emperor. I don't like that. It's got to be somebody else.
I would rather it be some all new character, but I don't know. But that is a big question going forward. Who the hell is this guy? Or thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's something the first movie captured that the prequels didn't. Basically, the prequels, we kind of knew who everybody was. You know, oh, look, that's so-and-so. We know him. Oh, that's so-and-so. We know him.
Yeah.
Oh, look, with this one, you have all the questions that you had when you watched the first trilogy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, oh, who is this? Who is this guy? Oh, why do we let, you know?
But that's what J.J. Abrams does better than, I think, any other director, is he just, I mean, that's the Lost element, is as many answers as he gives you, there's three more questions.
Well, but it's also the benefit of we don't know the future. In the prequels, we knew the future.
Sure.
That's what it comes down to. Like, we knew, well, you got to connect the dots. We know who these people are going to be, and this is their,
you know, the
teenage shelf. Like, now, like, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen going forward.
Yeah, like, what is going to be the next Death Star?
Oh, God. Theoretically, there won't be one in the next movie, but it'll be in the third movie.
Right.
They'll have some kind
if
of new planet.
Right, they follow suit.
It'll be an Earth-like planet.
So who's getting put in carbonite next movie?
Oh, jeez.
All right. Anything last final thoughts on...
Just very enjoyable, and Star Wars has broken all these records. It's approaching, I think, 900 million stateside, which is like almost a 200 million... I think Avatar had like 740, and I think Star Wars is approaching 900 right now. Globally, it's still behind Avatar and Titanic, but I think it'll end up passing Titanic globally. I don't know that's going to pass Avatar's global tally, but in the United States, this is going to be the number one movie. I mean, it's going to have a $200 million advantage over anything else. It's pretty amazing. You know, smash the opening weekend, second weekend, like first however many days, the fastest film to hit basically everything. It was fun to have a good Star Wars movie.
There we go.
All my electricity, everything went off for a second.
The Force.
My guess, shitty St. John Parish. Yeah.
Their Starkiller base just got destroyed by some rebels. Speaking of Star Wars Rebels, I hope y'all are watching that. It started back up again this week. Princess Leia showed up.
I heard that. I'm not watching it.
You should.
I heard this one's a lot more kiddie than the Clone Wars.
But, dude, but Darth Vader has showed up. You should fucking watch. Just watch it. It's a half-hour little show. Just watch it. It's easy to watch. It's Star Wars and it's canon. Just watch it.
Mm.
It's not going to kill you to not watch it.
I mean, I like to see the parts with Vader, but...
I'll just skip ahead to that. All right, last thoughts, final thoughts on the movie, Damon?
No, look, the movie is a great not reboot, whatever it is, start over, and I'm looking forward to the standalones.
Found a synonym for reboot.
But I'm looking forward to the standalones just as much as I'm looking forward to the trilogies. So definitely go see, if you're a Star Wars fan, go see it. And if you've never seen one before, you might want to start off with 4, 5, and 6 and then skip 1, 2, and 3.
Go from there.
If you're a Star Wars fan and you haven't seen it yet, I don't know what the fuck you're doing. It would have made, considering all the money it's made, I can't believe there was a Star Wars fan
that hasn't seen it.
Who was a legit Star Wars fan who has not seen it.
Well, right.
They've seen it multiple times already.
Like, I've seen it twice.
I've seen it twice also.
I've seen it thrice.
Oh, shit.
And I'm probably not as big a Star Wars fan as either of you.
No, I might need to go see it again. Shit.
Why haven't you seen it? Why did you see it thrice?
I saw it once with Jason.
Right.
not you.
Not you.
Once with my kids, and once with my nephews and niece for Christmas.
Okay.
Maybe we have to go see it together.
Yeah.
We can go sit in the recliners.
There you go.
All right.
Is it still in theaters?
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
All right. Whoa, sorry. Excuse me.
Yeah, it's probably still in the top 10 money. I mean, you know.
Oh, dude, it was in the top 5. It still made like $15 million this past weekend.
I will say, I've after seeing it 3 times, I'm pretty good. I don't need to see it till it comes out.
Now, I will say this. I'm pretty excited. So I'm going down to Orlando in 2 weeks. I'll be down there for the Super Bowl. They added a new scene in the Star Tours ride, and it's a scene that includes stuff from the new movie.
Oh, good.
There's a little scene. I think it's from Jakku. I'm guessing we fly around Jakku. But they, for the next, I don't know, month or so, I don't know how long it's going to last, because it's kind of a random thing.
Yeah, that's the 4D ride.
They randomly insert 3 random sections, but with the new movie out for the next month or so, every ride gets at least 1 scene of the new scene that they put in. So I'll get to see the new scene when I go down there in a few weeks. I'm excited to see that.
Well, what I like about that, is it would be cool if they gave you the Millennium Falcon scene.
Well, they're going to be building a land, and there's going to be a Millennium Falcon ride.
Excellent.
That they're building. Eventually, it'll open up in a few years. Ooh, but
I got a quick final thought. Did Chewie have gray hair? Or
not
did
that
his
I
hair
noticed.
Not changed?
I didn't notice it.
I feel like they aged Chewie a little bit.
Well, he got shot, and he actually had to deal with being shot.
Sure.
I didn't see any gray hair, but I wasn't really looking.
Yeah, I could have sworn when you go see it again, check for gray hair where it might not have been gray before.
Maybe he has gray pubes? I don't know. Oh, also, by the way, the crew of Chewbacca's rolls this Saturday.
Speaking of Chewie.
I know y'all said y'all wanted to go see it. Renee and I are going to go see it.
Where did it run?
Who said they wanted to go see that?
Y'all did.
When?
I don't know, a few weeks or months ago. I don't know, whenever. It's the fucking crew of Chewbacca's, man.
That's
we
the
saw
dog?
It.
Oh, I'm thinking of Barkus.
No, this is the Star Wars inspired parade, the crew of Chewbacca's. It rolls like in the Bywater Marini, like we park like right on the other side of Esplanade, like Esplanade's on the other side of the quarter. We park like a block or two off, and the route's kind of like back there a little bit, but we kind of park like along the river.
What kind
of
floats?
They aren't really floats. They're just self-made
stuff.
Got
it. I know what you're talking about. Got it.
And they dress as other characters besides
Chewbacca,
right?
It's not just, like, there's Star Wars, Star Trek. There was a crew of rolling ETs, which are a bunch of kids in bikes with hoodies with ETs on their bikes. And look, you're not going to get a ton of throws. It's not your traditional Mardi Gras parade.
It's not about the throws.
Right. It was fun to see what kind of shit did they build. It was, and it's all kind of sci-fi, alien stuff.
Ooh.
It's very worth, if you haven't seen it before, it's very worth going to see it. Renee and I are going to be there Saturday, so if y'all want to come, let us know. Y'all can come with us.
All right, I'll think about it.
Are you kidding me, room?
You probably won't, but you should.
In the room?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Don't worry,
I don't know.
We don't have to buy a ticket, so you're good.
Right. Well, we just show up. I need to show up in the middle of the street.
Oh, Damon, I'm sorry. There's not enough room for you in this preview.
If you want to confirm first, you get first right of refusal. So
Renee's brother's neighbor's not going to come.
Yeah, no, they're not coming.
Renee's brother's neighbor's grandson.
There's a scene that is from Spaceballs 2. Nope, Lone Star, before you say it.
Nope.
I am your brother's cousin's nephew's former roommate. What does that make us? Absolutely nothing. While you were gone, Damon, I was telling Jason, I showed my kids Spaceballs on Sunday before the games.
Uh-huh.
They fucking loved it. And they picked up on all the funny, like, why things are funny, and that they were funny, and they are quoting the movie now all the time.
And like I told Jeff, it's the Jew in them.
And I said, funny, they don't look Jewish. I mean, that movie is, it holds up, and it's worth watching.
They need to make, not now that they're doing, you know, the... whatever, the continuation, they need to make another
one. They will.
I heard they might be making one.
Probably dying. Well, you know, there was a part in the movie where he asked, like, are we going to see each other again or something, when he's talking to Yogurt, and Yogurt goes, hopefully in Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money. So if they do make it again, I hope they name it that.
Well, now's the time to do it. Star Wars made all the money.
So. Exactly. Right. They should be, right. It should come out this summer.
I really hope they remake that, or they do a new one. But you can't have John Candy in it.
No.
They just put in Zach Galifianakis or some shit.
Oh, that's true.
Another fat white guy.
Right, or some other fat comedian.
Right.
All right, I think we're good.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. So if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, model franchise donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation.